Thank you, worship team. Well, we're in this new series called Hearing God, and I shared with you last week that it really has just come out of a heaviness in my own heart for my own prayer life, that, you know, that I would begin to pray more than just have a prayer life that was more than just a devotional prayer life, but that I would begin to understand and maybe help you to understand just the urgency and the seriousness of the days in which we live in. And I don't necessarily mean, of course, this is included, but the seriousness of the days in which we live in. You know, we have COVID and the election and economy and all that's going on in our world, around our country. But even more important than that is just the personal, individual needs that are going on in your lives. To have a more intense, persistent prayer together with the body of Christ, lifting each other up and crying out to God and listening to God and wanting to hear from God. But because what I know is the basic claim of Christianity is that God speaks to His people. All through the Bible, as I said last week, you see the phrase, "and God said, and God said, and God said," and pretty soon you get the idea that God really does speak to people. And we talked about last week, but it takes a relationship with Him, right? He wants to have a relationship with you and I, a personal relationship, because we really can't communicate and Him hear us and He and us hear Him if we don't have that relationship. But God has chosen to speak to us. And so I think, as we step into conversations like this, that we get excited, right? We say, you know, I would love to hear from God. I would love to hear that I'm in the right place right now, that I'm in the right relationships, the right school, the right job, the right career. But does God even speak to people like me? And if He does, is there any way for me to hear Him? And I'm with you. I know people like Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Mary and Coach Mays and Kim. I know He speaks to them. Right? The spiritual elite, the special edition, the spiritual giants, top shelf kind of Christians, but not me. They probably hear from God, but I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just an ordinary girl. I've shared with you, I sometimes have a problem of comparing myself to others, right? And I think sometimes there's no way He really wants to speak to me because, you know why? Because He knows me, right? He knows me. He knows I sometimes miss my daily Bible reading. He knows my prayer life gets dry, that I don't always serve Him with my whole heart. He knows that sometimes I miss the opportunity to share with someone that He's placed in my life. And so sometimes because He knows me, that surely I'm excluded from hearing His voice. And I find myself thinking that God speaks to them, but not to me. Well, can I share with you some good news this morning? This God that we are talking about, He does speak to people like us all the time. God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? I read this verse to you last week, John 10:27, where Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And, you know, I've shared with you many times that I don't like sheep, all right? I grew up raising cattle, and so I always thought of myself as a cowboy. I went off to the University of Florida and majored in the agricultural school there, and I took livestock production, and we had to go through every livestock that there was, and of course we had to spend a few weeks on sheep. And I want to tell you, sheep, as I've shared this with you before, sheep are the dumbest animal on the face of the earth. And I know if you're sheep lovers, that's okay, they're cute, right? They provide clothes, they got, you know, but they're dumb. Right, they're dumb, and I had a buddy that was in school with me there at Florida, and he raised sheep, and so we always kidded him. You know, he said, "You're just a sheep boy. Come on, you're a sheep boy." But you know, they're dumb. The other thing about sheep that I learned and that he told me about is they die easy, right? They die easy, and so why compare them to us? I mean, they die easy. They get parasites get on them, and they get sick, and they get diseases, and they just die. He even told me that one time he had a sheep die from the sound of thunder. right? They just die easy. So how can you compare them with us? We don't die. And they can't see very well. They'll just walk right off the side of a crevice. I mean, just right off, you know? And they won't see. They'll follow anything, you know, and then they're just, because they can't see. They got to follow something that's in front, and they walk right off, you know? And so I said, you know, I wonder sometimes why he compares us to sheep. And of course, I begin to get that. I begin to understand that as I've lived these years of my life. But there is one good thing about sheep. Besides their wool, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, we have clothes because, and so that's a good thing. But the other good thing about sheep is they hear incredibly well. They hear incredibly well. So a shepherd would walk through his sheep and begin to sing or begin to speak to them. And all the I don't see too well, die easy, dumb sheep would hear his voice and would follow behind him as he led with his voice. And as a result of that, they would end up in the place he always intended them to be because they just followed his voice. And so I began to realize that my job and your job is to be so dialed into a relationship with our God that when he speaks, I can hear his voice. To really do everything I can to get to know him. I think our adult Bible study talked about that this morning. You know, to get to know him as our personal Lord and Savior, as our Father, as the one that is with us and will never leave us. To really dial in and into a relationship with him so that when he does speak, I can hear his voice and I can hear him speak every day in step with his word, his voice guiding me. Then I can be courageous and have confidence and step out and follow him. And so this morning, last week we talked about why it's important to hear God speak. And today I just want to talk about how we do that. How we hear God speak. Very practical points this morning. So if you have, something to write on, just write these down. The first way, the most important way, the number one way, the key that drives every other way that he speaks to us is through the wisdom of his word. Through the wisdom of his word. How many of you would say that you are absolutely dependent on your GPS to get somewhere? Like to back out of your driveway? Come on. That's right, Bob Myers. Right? Me too. Right? Me too. I mean, I can't even come to church without, you know, putting that thing in Google and make sure. And then I always try to compete to see how quick I get here, right? Did I beat my record again? But, you know, it's crazy, right? Several years ago, Kim and I went to Washington D.C. for a wedding, and we flew into D.C. and rented a car, and then we had to drive to Alexandria, Alexandria, Virginia, where a hotel was. And I want to tell you, if I didn't have a GPS, there is no way we would have made it with all the interstates and the parkways and everything going across and through and around. And it's just no way. We went into D.C. one afternoon, and we were driving back at night. And, you know, you might go in one way, but then you might come back another way, and especially if you're using, Siri or Google or whatever, you come back a different way. And I'm telling you, I had to put on my high beams on the interstate in order to see the sign that she was telling me to turn, you know, so that I wouldn't miss it. And sometimes I think, that's what his word is for us, right? Psalms 119, 105 says, "By your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." Listen, this book that we call the Bible is a lot of things, right? But it is primarily a love story about a God that is crazy about you. It's a book full of hope and truth and comfort, and challenges, and practical wisdom. It's honest, it's real, and it's the inspired word of God. And if you and I will begin to study it, and apply it, and obey it, it will give you guidance. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." Listen, the Bible is not just a collection of wonderful thoughts and ideas of men. It is inspired, and you can circle that word in your Bible and underline that word. The word literally means in the Greek that it is God-breathed. It's His very breath to us. When we are reading Scripture, we're inhaling what the Holy Spirit exhaled thousands of years ago. As Mark Batterson says, we are hearing the whisper of God in breath tones. And so that means that the Bible is absolutely reliable. You can count on it. It will guide you. It will correct you. It will comfort you. It will help you. It's like the high beams in the dark. But you don't ever get, if you don't ever, listen, if you don't ever get in it, how can God talk to you? I mean, that's why it's so important for us to have our daily quiet times with Him, where you sit down 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't matter. The amount of time is not important. You just sit down with Him and you talk to God in prayer, and you let God talk to you through His Word. And if you're not doing that, listen, if you're not doing that on a daily basis, you're missing the number one way that God wants to talk to you. God speaks loudly through His Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even in dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart." It's living. It's active. It's your everyday personal GPS. And as good as Siri is, you know, and as good as our little Google Maps thing is, and they're good, right? It can't compare to the way God speaks His precise directions into our lives. For instance, maybe you're saying, "Monty, you know, I'm confused. I'm in this relationship. I really like this person. I like her a lot. I like him. I might even love that person. And so I don't want to lose them. And so I really feel like maybe we need to move it to the next step. We need to, you know, maybe become more intimate and, you know, and kind of begin to really get to know each other." And God responds in 1 Thessalonians 4, "God's will is for you to be holy, to stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor." Or maybe in your marriage, you're struggling right now. There's so much selfishness in there, and it just seems like, you know, it's not going to work. And God's Word says to you in Philippians 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the other." Or maybe for you, it's your job, and, you know, your boss is crazy, right? She's crazy, right? And it's just a struggle. Or maybe the dynamic, the culture in your office and in the place that you work is just so messed up and so jacked up, you know, and you just don't know if you can continue. I mean, you want to walk out the door. What do you do, right? What do you do? And Colossians says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people." Or maybe there's this addiction that just has control of your life. And God speaks courageously and lovingly in Ephesians 5. He says, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Maybe for you, and really this is probably all of us, maybe you're just stressed. I just heard someone the other day talk about our buckets of stress and just how there's so much more in our buckets than they were in our parents' lives or in our grandparents' life, because we, you know, all that's going on in our world, but also because we know everybody else's stress, right? And we carry that. We put that in our bucket. And so we are stressed, right? We are anxious people. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. And so we say, I wish God would speak to me. Listen, the truth is, He has. And He continually does. This lovingly God that I wish everybody knew has already spoken truth and wisdom through His Word that brings life to our soul and acts as our personal GPS through life. And no one that I've ever met has messed up their lives by submitting their lives to Scripture, to the principles of God's Word. God's Word is God's will. And I believe more people would hear His voice if maybe they would stop asking Him to say what they want Him to say and spend more time focusing on what He's already said. The surest way to get into the presence of God is to get into the Word of God. It changes the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we love. And listen, you just can't read it. You have to meditate on it, pray through it, right? Contemplate it. You have to get to that place where then you have the courage to obey it. To not just be hearers of the Word, but begin to be a person that is a doer of His Word. I love what Peter Marshall, the great pastor, said. I wonder what would happen if we all agreed to read one of the Gospels until we came to a place that told us to do something, and then we went out and we do it. And only after we had done it, we begin reading again. Well, I'll tell you exactly what would happen. God's kingdom would come, and His will would be done. Because you see, that's what happens when hearers of the Word become doers of the Word. So just do it. It's His voice, His breath to you. The second way we can hear God speak to us is through the presence of His Spirit. He not only gives us His Word, but He has given us the presence of His Spirit to walk with us every day. And I'm telling you, nothing has helped me more in my life than when I started living in the awareness of His 24/7 presence in my life. That He's always there with me. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. I mean, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside a believer at the moment of salvation. And one of the promises we have from God all through the Bible is that He will never leave us. Exodus 36 says, and I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. He tells us that His Holy Spirit will literally move us to follow His ways and be responsive to Him. John 14:16 says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, and He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive Him, for it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him, but you do, for He lives with you now, and someday He shall be in you. So listen, if you are a forever follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not just with us. He takes residence up in us. And not only does He start producing incredible things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? But at the same time, all through the day, He speaks deep into your heart. And sometimes He's convicting you or challenging you or strengthening you. Often He is encouraging you, comforting you, but He is always leading, always prompting, us to do the right thing, to walk in the right direction. And not just to, just in the big time decisions, but in the little things all through the day. In those moments, when he speaks, he says, like, now come on. You know you're getting overheated. Don't react that way, right? Don't say another word. Just walk away and come back when you've cooled down. I mean, how many have heard that voice? Yeah, he prompts us. Yeah, he prompted me this morning, you know. Clean the shaving stubble out of the sink, Monty. Don't leave it for somebody else. Put the lid down. Kiss your wife. Maybe not in that order, but you know, just... You've heard that voice, right? You've heard that voice. He will speak to you. You know, start a life group. Be part of a Bible study. Be part of that mission opportunity. Give that guy $20. He prompts us. He says, it's been long enough. Pick up that phone and call your dad, your mom. Forgive them. Let go of that bitterness. He gently encourages us. Hey, it's been 3 months since you've taken that drink. It's been 6 months since you've taken that pill. Don't forget, I am in you and giving you the desire and the power to get well. He speaks. He guides. He prompts. He leads us all day long if we will listen to him. How many of you love college football? Come on, you got to get excited. We're about there, right? Yeah, I love college football, all right? And I am so excited. I pray that I will be in the swamp this year. I mean, it's getting close, and I'm excited about it to see the guys run out in 70 or 80,000, no, let me think, 17,000 screaming fans. Right? But you know those guys that are on the field when they're playing with 70, 80, 90,000 fans, and their position coach is standing on the sideline, and they do something wrong, and that coach yells at them and gets their, you know, immediately he gets their attention. Immediately they hear his voice. They recognize his voice with 90,000 screaming fans. You know why? Because every day in practice, they've been listening to that voice, and they've been hearing that voice. And so what I'm learning is, as you and I hang out with God consistently and we practice being aware of his presence, you will start to hear his voice above all the noise. He speaks through the wisdom of his word. He speaks through the presence of his Holy Spirit in us. Thirdly, through the counsel of others. He speaks through other people. I can't tell you how many times God has used godly, believing friends to get me back on track. Right? I mean, now I'm not necessarily talking about those who don't know me. You know, they really don't know me at all, and they think maybe I need to send him an email and tell him what he should do and what he should, you know. I'm not talking about those kind of words that people give that don't even know. I'm talking about men and women who have a relationship with me, that really know me, and I know that they love Jesus, and you know, they seek his heart, and they listen to him. And so many times God has used those people in my heart, in my life, to speak to my heart. And sometimes they didn't even know it, right? They just happened to say something, and the Holy Spirit was like, hey man, that was for you. That was for you. Have you ever sat in a church service, probably not this one, but have you ever sat in a church service and felt like God was speaking directly to you? That nobody else in the audience really mattered, that God was speaking directly to your heart? He was. He is. You know, and in that very moment, God was speaking through, you know, a gifted teacher to tell you what he wants to say to you. God often uses other people to share his word with us. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, therefore, we will never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. Listen, God speaks through teachers, preachers, pastors, and it changes our lives when we listen to them. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So let me ask this question. Who do you walk with? Who do you go to for advice? Do you have some people in your life that you know love God and listen to him, and they love you, and they listen to you? Who are those people in your life? I mean, this is no surprise to you. My first go-to is Kim. Right? God has always called us together as a team. She walks with God. She listens to God, and she knows His voice. And so when I am struggling with something, that's my first go-to. I go to her because she knows me, right? And she knows my God. And this might surprise you that really sometimes the second people that I get in touch with are my sons, my boys. Because I know they are seeking God, and I know they have a kind of a special insight into their daddy. And so I kind of seek counsel from them. And then, you know, I've got some guys who are really close to me. They love me. They speak truth to me. They, you know, I can bounce stuff off of them. And throughout my life, it's just been a huge way that God has spoken to me. So I want to encourage you, go to people that know God and know you. And because of their relationship with you is so tight that they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Now, even when I get that advice, I get that wisdom, I get that counsel from them, I still run it through the filter of God's Word, right? I still check the presence of His Spirit in my life. But then I seek others, and God speaks to me. And then finally, the convergence of circumstances. And I know convergence is a big word, but I, you know, every time a Mulberry boy gets a chance to use a big word, he tries to jump in there and do it. So, but I just thought about, you know, those, the interstate in D.C. and, you know, and just how those roads just cross, you know, paths and all get down to where they converge to the lane that you need to be on. Convergence is a good thing, because sometimes when you are looking for direction, you start looking at how God has kind of wired you, how He has put you together. Your spiritual gifts, your passions, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, right? All of them seem to be converging into one lane, and you think, oh my goodness, I think God is speaking to me. Not many of you know this, but when I was growing up, I dreamed about playing. I love sports, right? All sports. And the sport I love more than any other that I dreamed about playing in, you know, the most was basketball. I mean, I dreamed about playing in the NBA. I had a court in my backyard and I with a light, and so I would spend hours out there just pretending that I was in the NBA, right? And I mean, I was good out there on that court. It was awesome, and I could, you know, and I'd begin to sing the song, "I Believe I Can Fly," you know, and I was like, you know, I can't. I mean, I can't even jump, if you want to know the truth, right? As a matter of fact, I can't even run anymore. And maybe those doors seem to be closed. Maybe I'm not going to be an NBA player anymore, right? They're closed to my life right now. And now, granted, sometimes when a door closes, God is saying just, you know, He just wants us to persevere through the situation. But most of the time, He's saying, come on, Monty. This is not you, bro. Right? Go another way. Isaiah 30:21 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. Now listen, it's not about looking for signs, you know, as you go through your life, throughout your day. And I'm going to say this because I'm a kind of a sign guy, right? I mean, I'll drive up behind and see a license plate, and I'll try to figure out what God's telling me through that light. It's a sign. I knew it. There it is right there. Come on. It's a sign. Or now, listen, I'm going to admit this, but and you can too if you want to join me and make me feel better. But, you know, have you ever just looked for some kind of sign in the formation of the clouds? Come on now. Am I the only one that does something stupid like that? I mean, I see this formation of heart. I'm going, yes, God. And you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about fortune cookie kind of stuff, right? Just honestly seeking God. And as He gives you direction in that still small voice on the inside, what happens is He will bring a peace with it and say, can you see, Monty, how all this is converging? I love you. I made you. I want to use you. Trust me. I am with you and calling you to step out and be strong and courageous. This is the way. Walk in it. He just challenges us to see that he uses our life circumstances as a way to communicate to us. I've shared this story with you before, but I'm going to share it again because it fits right here. I grew up fishing, and I love to fish. And so when I was about 14 years old, my parents had a lake house in Claremont. And so I had a little dinghy. This was before kayaks. Lord, I wish I lived in kayak time. But this was before kayaks. And so, I mean, I loved to fish in the little canals around the lake that we were on, and had a little electric kicker, a little bitty battery there. And it was just my little boat, you know, fishing. And so we were up there one weekend, and my sister brought her boyfriend. And my dad told me that I had to take him fishing that next morning. Now, listen, this boy, I was going to say he was a city boy, but there's good city boys. But he never fished. I shouldn't say that, right? Thank you. He just never fished. All right, he just never fished. And so I'm going, Dad, why? He don't even like the fish. Dad, he's not going to take him. You need to take him. And so we got up early that morning. And I'm still focused on Monty. You know, I'm going to fish. I'm this little cat. You know, this guy, I mean, he's older than me. You know, probably, you know, 18, 19, 20. I don't know how old he was. You know, and so he gets in the boat, you know, and I get him all settled. And it's a little thing. It's not big enough really for two people. But I get him in there, get him all settled in, right? Here's your pole. Here's your thing. Just drop it out there and I'll do my thing. And so when I got to the place where I wanted to be, I had this top water plug that I was just so excited about trying early in the morning, so I went to throw that sucker out where I wanted, and all of a sudden, I caught something, right? And I just pulled it another time, and then I looked back, and I caught my sister's boyfriend. I don't even know if they were boyfriend, girlfriend, but he was there. I caught him right here up underneath his eye, and I went, no, I didn't do that, but he starts screaming and crying and going, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm going, listen, you're all right, bro. It's all right. It's hard to even breathe, and you're going to make it. So, believe me, you're going to make it. It's all right. So we get back to the house. You know, we had to push it through, right? We had to push the barb through and cut it off and then pull it back out. And he got a little, you know, butterfly strip or thing, whatever. You know, it's like, oh. And, you know, I don't think they ever saw it. My sister ever saw him again. You know, I think he was done. But, you know, he just messed up my whole day, right? My whole fishing trip. Hadn't caught any fish, went home. But listen to this. But I had at that age become a fisher of men. I mean, come on. Right? I mean, I'm just taking Jesus literally, right? And I get it. I know it's a random story. And my sister will tell you how much of that is true. But but I want to see you to see it, is that God uses the moments of our lives to communicate to us. I believe he uses that I just speared my, you know, my fishing buddy moment. And he uses that I'm just standing in line at the coffee shop moment. And he uses I'm just going into the office again today moment. That all the moments and the circumstances of our lives, bad and good, are used by him to communicate his will to us. And I just wonder sometimes, what would change if we really began to get our mind around that? If we, you know, and we would be willing to listen and willing to respond. So here's my challenge. A challenge that is that when you find yourself in a frustrating circumstance, or you find yourself in an unusual circumstance, or even if you find yourself in a daily circumstance, ask yourself this question. Lord, what are you trying to say to me through this? What are you prompting me, urging me? What are you guiding me in the midst of this moment? It's interesting. When I look back on that fishing trip many years ago, it's just interesting to me what God has done in my life and brought me to today. Now I am the person I want my entire story to be about, pointing people to Jesus, being a fisher of people. I see how God uses the events of my life to bring me to that place. And we have to understand, we have to get our minds in that place that God speaks to us through our life circumstances. And so how is he speaking to you today? And maybe he's just saying, hey, I love you. I made you. I know the plans I have to guide you. And he's just saying, hey, listen to my word. Listen to my spirit. Listen to the people I put around you, your circumstances, so that you can be the right person at the right place and at the right time, being used for the right purposes of God. That's how God speaks to us. Now, I could stop right there, and we'd be okay, right? But I want to give you some ways to really hear God when he speaks to you like this. Because I think sometimes the noise in our life, the struggles of our lives get so loud that we struggle with hearing. I used to think I was great at hearing, that maybe God had given me the gift of hearing, you know? And that's a good gift to have because you can kind of eavesdrop on conversations. But here lately, Kim's been telling me that I'm having trouble hearing, right? And I go, huh? But right, she's been saying, Monty, you're having some trouble hearing. You might need to go check that out. And here's what I know. Sometimes I get that way in my relationship with God. And so I just want to share with you my favorite story about hearing God. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to run through this real quickly, but I just want to leave you with these tips on really how to prepare yourself to hear from him. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 11. And I know that's a lot of verses, but we're going to jump in there. And I know if you went to adult Bible study this morning that this passage has already been read to you. Hey, God must be doing something with it, right? You remember the story about Samuel. He's being mentored by the priest Eli. His mother has dedicated Samuel to the Lord. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak. I mean, he's an old priest. He could barely see. He was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord. Samuel was just a little boy, right? 12 years old, maybe, right in there. He was in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. He's getting a little frustrated with the boy. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him a third time. I just love how God just doesn't give up on us. Just keeps coming back. The third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. God's always been an announcing God. He's always wanting to tell us what's coming, what's about to happen. And I love how Samuel began to grow up valuing God's voice above every other voice. Eliminating all the competing voices. And here's why I think Samuel was able to do that. It's because Samuel's mom was a praying mom. She prayed for her son. She prayed for her son. She went to Eli, went to the priest, just prayed for her son. And she said, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to dedicate him to you. And she did that when God blessed her with a son. She dedicated him to the Lord. And that's why Samuel was in the presence of God, because he had a praying mom. A mom that believed in the voice of God. And parents, how important is it for us to pray for our children, to pray for our grandchildren, to pray for our grown children? It puts them in an environment where they value the voice, his voice, where they value the very presence of God. Now listen, God's not a hollerer. Is that a word? He's not a yeller. He's not a screamer, right? We talked about this last week. I think he prefers to whisper because it means close proximity. and we say, God, speak up, speak up. We want God to turn up his voice, and he wants us to turn down our lives. Begin to eliminate the distraction, the noises that are around us. And so here's what you have to do in order to begin to turn down your life and begin to hear God's voice through his word, through his spirit, through other people, through the circumstances of life. The first thing you and I have to have is we have to have a surrendered heart. It fills me with hope that God wants to speak to just ordinary people like you and me. And I mean, Samuel was a little 12-year-old, and he wants to speak, even at times that we don't totally get it, right? Samuel didn't totally get it, but he was willing, and God is willing to speak again and again. It helps me to understand that God will not give up on me. He wants to speak to me, so I can just keep, if I can just keep a surrendered heart, and say, Lord, if you will help me to know your voice more and more through the sound of your word, your Holy Spirit, others speak to me, the convergence of circumstances, Lord, help me to have this surrendered heart where I keep calling, where you can keep calling me, God, until I respond. Speak, for your servant is listening. And so it's an everyday surrender to him. And he speaks to me. As a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, I just need to have a surrendered heart. The second thing that Samuel teaches me, the life of Samuel, is not only do you have to have a surrendered heart, you have to have a humble heart. It gives me fresh ears. It prepares me to hear God's voice. God could have spoken to Eli, but instead he spoke to the young. Now, don't get me wrong. I love being older. I mean, I love it because you can just say what you want to say and walk off, right? It's just, most people are younger than you, and so you can just, right? I love being older, but my goal, listen, my goal is I want to be young at heart. You remember when Jesus in Matthew 18, he called, the children to him, and they placed him on his lap, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little, like the little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I want to be childlike, not childish, but I want to be childlike, young in my actions, young in my worship, young in my faith, young in my service, young in my giving, not old as it relates to God. Childlike, not childish. God, I want to stay young before you, God. Humble yourself. The third thing I learned is that not only do you need a surrender heart or a humbled heart, but also a sharing heart. You're willing to share what he says. Samuel did that. People before they hear God's voice, sometimes they're going to hear your voice that will help them hear God's voice. God talking to you so that you can talk to someone else about him. And then finally, we need an obedient heart that whatever he says to do, do it. God wants to speak to you. So obey his voice. Obedience is our love language to God. When I obey him, he releases his plan for my life. But when I disobey, then it brings confusion. 1 Samuel 3, it's the end of Samuel's life. And it says the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And I love this. It says that he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested. I love that word, attested. Samuel, he was proven as a prophet of the Lord. Because at a young age, he made sure he was at the right place in the presence of God. He valued God's word above anybody else's. And he had this surrendered, humbled, obedient heart Here I am. Here I am, God. What do you need me to do? He valued his word above anybody else's. Listen, God is speaking today. And no matter how many times we've missed it, he is still speaking, waiting for us, for you, to have a surrendered, humbled, obedient heart. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the bang up, he is still speaking. So since he doesn't give up on us, let us not give up on him. He is looking for someone with a surrendered, humbled, obedient heart, saying, Lord, I am not perfect. I don't have it all together, but I need you. So please speak to me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Pray with me, please. Oh God, we thank you for your presence here in this place. And God, I thank you so much for being a God that is speaking to us today. And God, I pray that all of us here in this room, all of us that are listening in online, Father, that we will begin to really tune in to you. Begin to really want to know you in that very personal and intimate way. And God, we will lean in and listen to you. Oh God, speak to us this week through your word, through your Holy Spirit, the awareness of being in your presence, God, 24/7. God, begin to allow us to hear your voice, to understand it, to obey it. God, use other people in our lives. Even the circumstances of our lives, the things that we are going through, use that, God, to speak to us. Father, may we be a people like Samuel that says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And maybe for you this morning, what he is speaking into your heart is that he is calling you, inviting you, encouraging you to come into a personal forever relationship with him. Maybe you've never surrendered everything to him. Maybe you've never received his forgiveness, his mercy and grace. Maybe you've never confessed with your mouth that you want Jesus to be your Lord, and that you believe that Jesus went to the cross and died on that cross to pay for your sin and rose again so that you might have forgiveness and eternal life beginning right now. Maybe his Spirit's voice is calling you into a personal forever relationship with him right in this moment. Don't miss it. Right where you are, will you just say yes to him? Just ask him to come in, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to begin to change you and transform you into his child, a child of God. And if you pray that prayer of salvation, you have the promise that his voice, his presence will never leave you. Most of us gathered today would profess to be followers of Christ. But God, because of the noise of our lives, because of the stuff that's going on, Father, all around us and in our own personal relationships, sometimes, God, we can't hear you. So, oh God, I pray for each one of us that we would have a surrendered, humbled, obedient heart. That God values your voice above any other voice, above the noise of our world, even above the pain and the hurts and the bruises of life. That God, we would value your voice above all others. So God, right in this moment, speak to us and give us the courage to respond and to obey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.